Praise God. Well, we've been in a series called What Faith Is. Go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 11:1. We'll read that, and then we'll move on. We'll pick up where we left off last time. So go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 11, John 20, and Romans 4. So Hebrews 11, John 20, and Romans 4. Everybody there? Oh, Hebrews 11, verse 1 says there, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things expected, and it's the evidence or the confidence of things not seen. And, you know, we've been covering these different verses on what faith is and talking about what faith isn't and getting into, you know, specifically some of the things it is. But, you know, it boils down to faith is believing God's word and not going by anything you can see or feel. It's going by only God's word. That is faith. And like it says here, faith is the confidence, or it's the substance, it's the title deed, it's the thing that stands under what you hope for. You don't expect something because of what you see. You don't expect something because of what you feel. You expect it because of what you believe and what you believe in God's words, God, what He has said. That you know you're operating in faith when you're operating because of what He said and not because of what you see, not because of what you feel. And we're going to get into some things about this tonight, which I believe will be really helpful. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So just because we can't see something, we can't see God with our physical eyes, but we know He exists. We believe heaven is real. Why? Because the Word says it. If you were going by what you felt or what you saw to determine if heaven is real, then what would you conclude? Well, you can't see it with your physical eyes. You can't feel it. So if you're just going by that, then you wouldn't have any evidence. But we have evidence of the things that aren't seen. Why? Because we believe God's word, and that is faith. Now let's go over and you guys found John and you found Romans. We covered this last time, and we're going to pick up where we left off and go forward. So we find two examples. Keep your fingers in both places there. John 20 and Romans 4. Let's go to John 20, verse 25. It says, "The other disciples, therefore said to him," now go to verse 24, we'll read that. It says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came." So Jesus came, Thomas wasn't there. Verse 25, "The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger on the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now keep your finger there and go over to Romans 4:17. Now this is talking about Abraham. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. So Abraham, when he was Abram, received the promise that he was going to become a father of many nations. There was no way, nothing in the natural, but he had God's word. Right here in verse 17 it says it. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope or contrary to expectation, in hope believed. So when there was no reason to expect, he expected, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So you have two accounts of faith here. You have Thomas's and you have Abraham's. So you see Thomas's, verse 25, he said, unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger onto the print of his nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. And then in verse 29, Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. He said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. So you can see Thomas, his faith was not Bible faith. His faith was just natural human faith. He refused to believe because he didn't see. And that's exactly what Jesus said. You don't believe because you don't see. And that's natural human faith. People, well, I'm not going to believe unless I see it. When you hear people say believing or seeing is believing, that's not true. That's not what Bible faith is. Romans 4:17, then let's look at a few verses there again. See, we'll go to verse 19. Or actually, we'll look at verse 17 first. It says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So you can see right there, God's calling things that don't exist as though they did. So you can't see them. But he's calling them, even though they don't exist, he's calling them as though they did. Abraham, what does he have to go on? God tells him, I have made you a father of many nations. What in the natural does he have to go on to believe that? He doesn't have anything in the natural. Nothing. So you see, Thomas, he would not believe unless he saw, unless he felt. On the other hand, Abraham has nothing to go on but God's word. And so you can see, verse 18, who contrary to hope in hope believes so that he became the father of many nations. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. So he did have something right in front of him that was contrary, and he chose not to believe that. He had something in his face, and he chose to ignore that and still look past it to God's word. Thomas had something in his face, which was the lack of anything, and he stopped right there. He's like, I'm not going to believe. I don't see it. I'm not going to believe Jesus was here. The thing he's going past to is he wants to see. He's going past The seen realm is too much in his face. He can't ignore it, so he can't get to believe. He's going to wait till he sees something. Abraham has it staring him in the face that this can't happen. And yet he looks right past it to God's word and says, but I believe God. You see the contrast? Bible faith is, it's not going to consider any of the stuff we in this natural realm. It's going to only be on God's word. Natural human faith doesn't look at what God said. It's saying, yeah, but, and looks at what it looks at this realm. So it discounts the word of God because of the natural. The other discounts the natural because of the word of God. They're complete opposites. But this makes it clear, and we're going to look at some things, how we walk in faith. You know you're not walking in faith when you're saying, yeah, but, and you're talking about the natural. Faith will do the actual opposite. You can talk about all the stuff in the natural and you say, yeah, but God said something. You see that? See, Thomas said, yeah, I gotta see. I don't see anything. So, yeah, you guys said it, but I don't see anything. So it brings it to the natural. The focus is on the natural. The natural, what you see, is the undoing. It's where the focus is. It's really saying, I don't care what God said. I don't see it, so I can't believe. Well, you know that belief is not Bible. That's not Bible faith. The other one is saying, you know, I don't care what this natural world says, what the feelings say. God said this, so that's what I'm believing. And you see that then Abraham was able to receive the miracle because he looked past the natural to what God said. And this is exactly the way it works in our lives. If we do the exact same thing, and this is how we walk in faith. Now, we went over this last time, but I'm just going to read you, go over these four steps that you could do. It's a, you know, we don't make formulas, but this is based on the Word of God. And so these are principles that will work always. You see what Abraham did. So four things that you can do to receive from God and operate in the faith that Abraham did. Number one, have God's word for what you desire to receive from God. And we'll see this right here, and then we're going to keep going into this. But number one, have God's word for what you desire to receive from God. Verse 17, Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. So Abram at that point, he had the word of God for what you desire to receive from God. And this is important. You have to have the word of God for what you're going to believe. It's not that you heard somebody talk about it or preach on it, and so you have this idea that God can do it. You may have been there before, but you know, and I've been there before. But you can't take the idea of something and decide to believe God for it. You have to have the Word of God for that. You have to have the Word of God in written form, in the Bible, or you need to have the Word of God spoken to your heart that actually is His Spirit. But you have to have a Word. If you're just like, well, I want this, well, that goes back to the things we've talked about before and what faith is. Just because you want something or because you heard somebody preach on it, but you can't say, well, God said this. If you can't come back to what God said, then you're not believing God. You're maybe believing what somebody said about God. And that's not the same thing. You have to know what God said. We have to know what the Word says. And if you're going to step out on something that that isn't explicitly in the Word. You know, there are the word. This is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God, but it doesn't tell you specifically what job you should take. It doesn't tell you who to marry, so on and so forth. You can't just pull that stuff out of the air and say, well, I claim this. Claim it on what grounds? Believe what? You can't just believe God just because you think it's a good idea or you desire something. God has, He has to speak to your heart, but we have to be able to discern that, and every child of God has the Spirit of God on the inside and can be led by it, but by Him. But we have to know what He said, and then you can put pressure on that, but you got to have the Word. That's the first thing. Abraham had the Word so he could believe. In other words, we're not just believing air or believing a principle. We're believing what God said. And this may seem subtle. If you say, like, for instance, I know healing's for me, and I'm just going to go ahead and pray. What scripture are you standing on? And specifically, if you know what those scriptures say, you should be going into believing God for healing based on some scripture. Not just general. Be led by God, and there may be a specific instance, but you know what the Word of God is. You're going to release faith for healing. So you need to know, God's, you said this, and I'm acting on this. And then when you release faith, now what do you go back to? What are you going to look back to look away from your symptoms, which is what we'll get to? You need to be looking at the Word. Well, what is that Word? The whole Bible? All the healing scriptures? Well, you can put those in, but you need to be centered up on something and say, God, you said this. And get strong on, you said this, I believe it, and that's it. Sometimes it just dilutes because you're like, well, it's all of it. It's all the stuff I've heard, and God, you, I know you're healing me, so just, and it, this is dilution there. Instead of, God, this is what you said, and this has got to come to pass. But anyway, we have to have the Word. Number one, you have to have God's Word for what you desire to receive from God. Number two, believe God's Word. You see, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. So you see, Abraham believed God. So you can have the Word for something and not believe it. But number one, you have to have the Word. Now you have to choose to believe it. The Word, the faith is going to come, and you have to say, I believe that. Because you need to have something to stand on, and then you need to choose, I am believing this. Because if you're going to believe God for something, you need to get in there and grab a hold, you know, like a dog with a bone, and say, all right, God said it, now I'm going to believe it. I choose to believe this because you can choose to believe different things. It says specifically, Thomas said, I will not believe. You know he could have believed? Jesus was there. He came and was there. He could have said, I mean, does he believe? I mean, think about what he did. He's been with these disciples. He's walked with them. Is he saying they're liars? I mean, what is he saying when he says, you guys, we walked with the Master, you said he was here, I don't believe it. What is he saying? I mean, just look at the people around you. You know, you've known people for a certain amount of time. If you were to say, we saw such and such, and this happened, if I were to say, I don't believe it unless I see it, what does that say about our relationship and what I think about your Word? It's saying, I don't care what you said. I don't esteem it more than what I can see. I just don't believe you that much. He could have chosen to say, you know what? We've had some experiences together. We've walked with Jesus. You say it, I believe it. I believe he was here. I believe he's risen. Praise God. And he could have believed, but he chose not to. And we can have the Word of God, and now we have to choose to say, I believe this. I believe it, and I'm gearing to where, see, you're gearing yourself when you choose to believe it. That means I'm not believing some other stuff, right? When Thomas said, I don't believe it, he gave up on believing. When Abraham said, I'm believing I'm having a child, then he had to disbelieve what he saw. You're making a choice. It's a stake in the ground. Now, number three, consider not the any contradictory circumstances. So you see, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so there it says he believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider it. See, he chose, I'm going to believe God. God said it. I believe it. And now, if you're going to believe God, that means you're going to shut other stuff up, off. I'm not, it doesn't mean I'm ignoring it, the reality of it. I'm looking past it. Yes, Abraham's body was as good as dead. His wife never had a child. And he's not denying that, but he's saying, I choose to believe what God said. See, he latched into that and said, all right, if I'm believing him, then I have got to not consider this other stuff. Well, what is that? If you're not considering it, you're not giving credence to your senses. There are times, like we said, you need to do that. You know, if you're going to cross the street and your eyes tell you or your ears tell you a car's coming, that's not the time to act like it's not there. But when you're talking about believing God, we have to look past contradictory circumstances. If we have God's word for something and there are circumstances that contradict it, or our senses are telling us something else, we have to look past it. And number four, give praise to God for the answer. It says, verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Notice, he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So he was glorifying God in the presence of contradictory circumstances because he believed God, and he was fully convinced that what God said was going to outweigh what he sees. And that's the same thing we can do in our lives every time. You find out what God said about it, choose to believe him, ignore anything to the contradictory or contrary, and then just praise him that it's true and refuse to give in to any of the contradictory circumstances. Because that is what, when we start to say, well, yeah, but I'm seeing, we've slipped back into sight. You know, you can slip back and forth. You can slip from faith back into walking by sight. You've been walking by faith, and then you can go, yeah, but what about this? I mean, I know I'm walking by faith, but what did you just do? You just flipped it again. You went from saying what God's word said, and you put the but there where, but the contradictory, and now we're back into walking by sight. Human natural faith. You're saying, I don't see it yet. I mean, what's going on? Well, did God's word change? See, why? Well, you have to have God's word, number one. Did his word change? If the answer is no, then we just keep glorifying God. Say, God, it's there. You're not waiting. You're believing. If we believe that what he said is true, then it's working. Then it's coming. Then it's in process. But I'm not going to step back in and start being Thomas and going, all right, forget it. This is enough. I don't believe it. That's a choice. I said it's a choice. It's a choice to slip back. It's a choice. We have to choose that we're going to believe what God said and believe the spiritual realm, the realm of the unseen, more than the natural. Smith Wigglesworth would say this. He said, I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings. I can understand God the Father and Jesus Christ only by what the Word says about them. God is everything the Word says He is. We need to get acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word. What is he saying? Whatever God said about him, whatever God said about God, that's what's true. Not what I see, not what I feel about God. I mean, people make up some crazy stuff about God. How do we understand who God is and what he does? It's by what he said. And you accept it by faith, and you don't go by what you understand or what you see or what you feel. Too many people try to get acquainted with God through feelings. And when they feel good, they think God has heard them. But when they don't feel good, they think he is not hearing them. Their faith is based on their feelings. But we need to have faith that's based on the Word. See, it's so true. We have to be careful that we don't walk like this, that we try to contact God based on our feelings. Well, I prayed and I know he heard me. You can't do that. When you pray, how do you know that it's working? How do you know that you're going forward? Because of, well, I felt it. I felt the power of God. Well, you could maybe feel the power of God. That's not why you believe. Well, I don't feel like I did yesterday. I don't feel like God's working. I mean, where is it going to come from? You see how easy you can slip right back into what? You don't feel and look. What are you saying? Feelings, the way it looks, more important than what God said. Do you realize there's so much of the world that is walking by feelings? Do you realize there's a lot of just the way people try to contact God? There's so much soulish music that's called praise and worship music, that it's really, it pulls on your soul, pulls on your emotions, but it's not faith. And it may sound really cool, but it's not faith. And it appeals to your emotions and say, God, I know you're there, and God, meet me, and God, help me. But what is that? What is it? It's emotion. Now, there's a place for emotion, but it's not contacting God. How do you know who God is? How do you know who Jesus is? You know it based on what the Word says. How do we know what he has done for us? Based on the Word. Well, I don't feel like it's working. What does that have to do with it? We'll miss it. We'll miss it over and over and over. If God's Word says he hears me, then I know he hears me. Why? Because he said so. Because he said so. That's it. And his Word cannot lie. See, what am I going by? It's like what Abraham said. He said he was convinced that what he promised, he was fully able to perform. He heard me, so that's it. You know you're walking by faith then? You have nothing but what God said, and you're going to believe it, and you may feel nothing. Nothing. You may feel the least spiritual that you have ever felt, but what is walking by faith? It's saying, I prayed based on the Word of God, it's done. Based on what? Based on God's Word, not based on what I feel, not based on what I see. See, if my faith is based on feelings, then I am just using natural human faith. That's the Thomas kind of faith. If I'm trying and I'm trying to get spiritual results with natural human faith, I can't do that. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They're crying to God, they're saying, God, and they feel like maybe God hurt them, but you know what? As soon as that feeling goes away, don't know if I got my answer. And that doesn't work. I have to use scriptural faith, Bible faith, and believe God's word. If my faith is based on the word of God, then I believe the word regardless of evidences that would satisfy my physical senses. And too many people, they're trying to act like Thomas and get Abraham's results. I don't believe, I don't see it. Now, God. And they want it to show up. But it's real easy to locate. What am I looking at? What am I ignoring? And what am I esteeming? Because in any case, you can locate yourself real easy. If I am believing or not believing in a situation, what am I believing? What am I esteeming? And what am I ignoring? Because if I'm ignoring what God said and looking at the physical, then I know I'm walking by sight. I'm walking in natural human faith. But if I'm choosing not to look at the natural, but I'm looking at God's word, then I know I'm walking in true faith. Here's an example. Here's an account Brother Hagin gives to illustrate this. He says, at one place where I was holding a meeting, there was a woman minister who had come forward in the healing line. She's a woman minister. She came forward in the healing line time after time and never got her healing. The pastor asked me why. He said she was well known in that area and there were other people who weren't responding for healing because they felt if she couldn't get her healing, they couldn't either. Well, so and so, I mean, they're super spiritual, quote unquote, you know. So, I mean, if they can't get it, I might as well not try. That's what they're saying. So I asked the Lord to help me. If I couldn't get this woman to see where she was missing it and what faith is, at least I wanted the Lord to help me show the people in the congregation what faith is. The Lord told me I wouldn't be able to get her to see it, but to use her as an example so the rest of the congregation could understand what faith is. Now, don't miss this. This can be so simple, but if we can get this down, this will help you through every area of life. This is so simple, but it is the crux of so much, because why do we miss out on what God has for us? It's because of this right here. We switch into natural faith mode. We drop what God has said and we start saying, but, and we're looking at something else. We're not walking by faith and by our heart, our spiritual man anymore. We're walking by our natural man. He says, when I came to her in the healing line, I prayed for her. When I was finished, she began to feel the place on her body where she was sick. Immediately she said, no, I haven't gotten it yet. Pray again. So I prayed again, and when I'd finished, she began to do the same thing. She began to check the spot to see if she's healed, to see if she got something. Finally, I said, I'll pray for you one more time, and then you can go sit down. When I got through praying the third time, the Lord told me exactly what to do to help the congregation. By this time, she had gone up the aisle back to her seat, and I called her back down to where I was standing. I said, sister, I want to ask you a question. She said, all right, go ahead. I said, when are you going to start believing you are healed? Well, she said, when I get healed. I asked, what in the world would you want to believe it then for? You would know it then. She said, say that again. I made this statement to her four more times, and she never did get it. But the majority of the congregation did, and afterwards many of them came into the healing line and were healed. See, she was trying to grasp that truth with her mind. And you can't. Because your mind can't grasp things in the spiritual realm. But if you listen to your spirit, there's something that responds on the inside of you because your heart knows it so. See, she was saying, and this is where a lot of people are, and when we pray to God, like what we just, God doesn't say, you find the word, you choose to believe the word, you ignore anything contrary, and you give God glory. This woman, and this happens over and over, we got to watch it in our own lives, was prayed for, and what did she do? I don't know what was wrong with her, but let's say it's her arm. She checked her arm and said, I haven't got it yet. Here, go. Give it another shot. He prayed for her again. Let me see. Nope. One more time. Third time's a charm. She's checking it. What is she going on? Tell me. Help me. What is she going on? Does it sound more like Thomas, what she's doing, or Abraham? She's saying, I haven't got it yet. Now, look at Abraham. God told him, you're the father of many nations. If he's this lady, what does he do? Goes over to Sarah. You know, I mean, what? He's like, I'm still old. God, tell me it again. Nothing changed in the natural. You can't, and then what after? I mean, he waited. It was a long time. 25 years. I mean, after a year, he's like, all right, this ain't working. That's totally natural human faith. But going and say, if you say, what? God, you said this, I choose to believe it in this case. You know, whatever they were believing for specifically, you know, Brother Hagin had preached on healing or was giving her scriptures. They're choosing to agree in faith on something specifically. Okay, what's the right response after you get done praying? I got it. All right, we prayed according to the word. I know it. It's done. All right, I'm ignoring now that still seems to be there, and I'm going on, and I'm going to give God glory, and that's it. I have it. Done. Yeah, but it's still, that doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm going past that and I'm looking to what God said. And you say, how long? Until. That's, how long did Abraham believe? He's called the father of faith. Until. I don't move from that, because to move from that is saying God's word didn't work. Don't move from that. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's just an adjustment. Anytime we pray, if we're basing it on the word, when we get done praying, according to the word, it's done. And that's what we say, according to the word, Lord, according to your word, I'm healed. All right. Don't check. Don't check your symptoms. Don't say, is it still hurting? Don't try to expect some physical manifestation. You do what the word says. Now you go about, you ignore whatever is contrary, and you just start thanking God that it's done. That's Bible faith. That is what faith is considering his word. Considering what he said. Just ignore everything else. Don't consider it. Praise God.